I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio. Oh, oh, oh.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jimmy Patronis, our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great to have you. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Are you still? Yeah, I was about to ask you. You still stuffed from Thanksgiving?
Oh yeah, I eat too much, and I'm. They came out with today is the day you're supposed to stop eating your turkey, and I'm like, come on now. I'm eating turkey through at least Thursday. That's not a problem for me.
The boys are all eating ham this morning for breakfast.
That's right. You deep fried, didn't you? How'd that go?
No, so I did not deep fry. No. We couldn't figure out what we were doing as a family, so I ended up going over to my mom's house. Mom's 90, and she had this, some of y'all remember as kids, congealed salad. It's like Jell-O dessert.
Okay.
And so we ended up making congealed salads together had those with the family. So that was kind of a little throwback.
Oh, I like that. Hey, I don't know if there's any news on this front, but I did want to ask you just because I think it's such a big deal for our area. Any update on the drilling in the Gulf and the concerns about, you know, interfering with the test range and all the stuff? And you had mentioned to us last week about it's not just always in the air over, but it's in the, you know, undersea operations as well. Any updates on any of that?
No, so, you know, I think the way all of it kind of came out right before the holiday, I mean, pretty much a lot of folks check out in D.C. We're waiting on the House bill to drop, the Senate bill has dropped. Both Ashley Moody and Rick Scott have filed a bill that protects drilling from taking place in the Gulf Range. In the case in the House, Byron Donalds out of Southwest Florida, he has got the Senate companion in the House, and so we're just waiting for Byron to release the bill so we can go pile on.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, here's hoping, because none of us want to see platforms anywhere out there in the Gulf, for sure. So let's hope that turns out.
And it's just such a, to me, I think it's just a case of the right hand not talking to the left hand. You've got the president having momentum with wanting to have total control over our energy independent future, our future of our independence with energy. But then you throw the dynamics into what's happening down in the Caribbean and off the coast of Venezuela.
Yeah.
And you kind of see the importance of being able to still have those military missions here. We're all working and making our case.
Speaking of that, this is actually my next topic I want to talk with you about. You and I have talked previously. I would love to see a declaration of war and or an authorization for the use of military force, an AUMF. I just at least want to see that the evidence has been presented, at least in private session, to the House Armed Services Committee or somebody to vet the strikes that have now killed more than 80 people. But we now have two things, three possible land strikes, which I think is a even higher level of scrutiny and a higher level of, you know, legal bar. Second, the closure of the airspace, if it is even closed. Trump, of course, saying that on True Social. But now the allegations against Pete Hegseth, that he had the second strike against the very first drug boat that killed the two people in the water after they were no longer running the drugs or being a threat against him. You know, first of all, let's start with that. I assume you want to know more, because I know I want to know more. If this is true, this is very concerning, right?
Yeah, everybody wants to know more. And if that's, if that's the case, it's definitely going to be a big problem. We'll already have a interest by the House Armed Services Committee. I know Don Bacon has been kind of leading the inquiry into that. So there'll be full transparency as to the closing of the airspace. All you got to do is go look at FlightAware, and there's no planes flying over Venezuela. And to me, this is what has triggered the phone call from Trump. Maduro to Trump yesterday or the day before yesterday, because that is like, a real control over their economy that I think that probably Maduro didn't think Trump could do or thought of or would do. So,
well, if it had been laid out as a plan in advance, and there's no reason to assume that it wasn't, if you take out a bunch of drug boats and then say close the airspace or else, you know, would you as a pilot want to fly there? You know, and then of course, what would actually happen if we were to shoot down a plane?
Yeah, no,
you know, that's. I mean, these are all real questions.
So, I mean, and just the table being set. If I'm clearing the airspace, it's obvious that we don't want to have any mishaps over Venezuelan airspace. So I mean, it's a real message to Maduro, and you know, he's got to change his way. The crazy thing about it is, you just kind of wonder how much is Maduro being propped up by the cartels himself, and how maybe does he really have any control over what, you know, he's living in now?
Yeah, sometimes you get, you know, you find yourself in charge of the parade that won't wait for you, you know, if you decide to stop. It'll just run you right over if you decide to do anything else. Let's talk a little bit, Congressman Jim Patronis, let's talk a little bit about the horrible attack against the National Guardsman that wound up killing one and the other one still fighting for his life. The president has now paused visas. He's paused refugee. Third world folks are not coming here. Afghanistan is not coming here. You know, we have 190,000 the reporting that I've read is 190,000 Afghans here. Another 250,000 have applied. We got Haiti, the 350,000 Haitians are being told that they won't have temporary protective status come February. It, you know, obviously the president has taken a very firm stance about trying to eject illegal immigrants. But these are all legal people, you know, at least they are if they stay within their status. Thoughts about, you know, just basically putting up a sign that says absolutely no for now?
Right now, considering what we just saw, how we saw a radicalized Afghani that, you know, made multiple coast-to-coast trips, and this is the one where he actually, you know, committed murder. And, I mean, this crazy guy was armed with a snub-nosed .357 revolver. I mean, to be able to hit something with a snub-nosed .357 revolver, you got to be pretty stinking close.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to see that type of anger that is there, and you kind of wonder, man, are these animals even, you know, even remotely do they have the ability to be normalized into society? So, yeah, look, I kind of think what the president is pushing back on, you know what, until we understand what we're dealing with, let's hit the pause button. You know, and just the policies, just like remain in Mexico and these others, you know, what is wrong with not allowing that type of operational interest of coming back to the United States? Why not force people that want to come here to go and make themselves known through the proper channels? So, I mean, I'm supporting where the president's, you know, head is on this. We've got to push back on these crazies. I mean, you know, this is a shame. I mean, this family got devastated for Thanksgiving, and we've got a country in mourning.
Yeah, I of course, in this particular case, and it's horrible what happened to both of them, I also always feel like the balance here, the challenge is Afghanistan, we had so many people work with us, so many people translate for us. This person worked with the CIA in some capacity that we, I guess, still don't really quite know what. And, you know, the thought was, and rightly so, that, well, hey, you know, if Afghanistan falls to the Taliban, you can't just leave these people over there because they will suffer and or be killed. And, you know, if we ever decided to send them all back, you know, that, you know, the Taliban's going to welcome them at the airport, you know. So I don't, he was vetted to some degree, you know, he had to have been, he got approved by the Trump administration for his, asylum claim or whatever. I guess I don't know how to cut the balance, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in this country who we want to help. Right.
As we reflect on how that debacle was handled, you know, there was a lot of problems that this administration has inherited, including, you know, individuals who are problematic. When you have that type of evacuation, I know our heart goes out to those that were helping us there.
Right.
But, you know, you had an evacuation that did not do any proper vetting, because it was like the evacuation before a hurricane's making landfall. Everybody's trying to get the heck out of Dodge. So, I mean, we got some rotten apples with that effort. You know, I just it's a mess. But I think right now, shut it down and let's get our arms around what the hell we've got on our hands.
You know, one of the things this administration does a lot of stuff. And I think sometimes you and I mostly talk more about the administration than about what Congress is doing. But, you know, here we are. This is kind of how it is.
Sure.
Cutting the ties with the Pentagon and the Boy Scouts, or now I guess it's just the Scouts. The National Jamboree will no longer get medical and logistical aid from the Pentagon. You know, 20,000 scouts come to town in West Virginia. Military bases are no longer, installations are no longer going to be able to, you know, house and hold events on. I always thought that the scouts, I was a scout, not a great one, second class, but my family's like first class and lifers and eagles and stuff. I was the failure in the family. But I always thought that scouting was a great preparation course for people who might eventually join the military. You know, it's all about service and country and, you know, all of the good things. Do you think this is useful for us to have the Pentagon say no more for the scouts?
Well, I think right now you've got a culture that has been introduced into scouting, which is not the same culture that was there when you were in the scouts.
Agreed.
Or my brother was in the scouts. And I think there has been some indoctrination that has just not been healthy. Pumping the brakes on this and let's try to let a little bit of a cooling off take place is probably not a bad thing. We have seen, you know, policies that aren't necessarily probably in the best interest of creating the type of scout we had remembered as a kid. And you know what? That board of directors will go through a deep dive of what their mission is going to be moving forward. Sometimes you have to send a message in order to get, you know, those organized groups like that and those leadership efforts to reevaluate what their mission is and what they're going to do. So it may not cure itself overnight, but, you know, we may be having a different conversation this time next year about, you know, what scouting is seeing and the role they play with the development of our young minds.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading a report on this said that as much as a third of Navy officers have some kind of a scouting background, which seems about right to me. I mean, I would not be surprised that it's very, very
sure.
high. But at the same time, you know, I actually share the concerns, particularly with integrating scouts for boys and girls, because I've always thought that, you know, boy-only spaces are different and girl-only spaces are different. And there's something lost when everything becomes intergendered, you know, whether it's dorms in college or anywhere else.
1,000%. You know, there are ways boys only hanging out with boys act differently. I mean, you know, they joke differently. They have fun differently. You blend them together at a young age. To me, that's kind of disrupting just the development of how those little minds are supposed to work.
Yeah, there's just something different. There is something, and I know the culture around us is wanting us to pretend like genders don't exist and, you know, to erase all these barriers. But women need to have organizations where there's just women, and men need to have organizations where there's just men, and boys and girls the same way, because they are just different. There's something you cannot get in a mixed gender environment that you do get in a solo gender environment. So I definitely see where they're coming from anyway. Well, Jimmy, I know you're glad to be back at work. Anything coming up this week that we ought to be paying attention to for Congress?
No, it's going to be a busy week this week. I saw on the agenda, it sounds like we're probably going to be voting on the SCORE Act. And this is, you know, Congress's attempt to wrap our arms around NIL and the portal and caps and dollars. And I don't think it's a I'm going to vote for it. It's a first step. It's not a perfect bill. I think we've allowed the NCAA to just destroy collegiate athletics. And, you know, now it's Congress, you know, which you really want to send this body in there to go fix up collegiate sports. But right now that's the only choice we've got because of just the ineptness of the weakness of the leadership of the NCAA not doing their stinking job. So now we're going to have a weak, watered-down solution to an already bad situation.
As you say, Congress is not necessarily the people you call first when you have a problem. So if it's up to Congress, you know the thing has kind of gotten out of hand already. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman from Florida's District 1, Northwest Florida's District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Y'all have a great week. Take care.